Let's stand together and sing All Hail the Power of Jesus.
Glad to see you this morning. I wasn't that glad. That's your husband with fooling with the dials, you know. Oh, that's wonderful. Isn't that good to have folks that can really sing? And so if you brought a Bible, we want you to turn to Numbers 35. We're going to talk from there today. After we pray, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet in fellowship and be of like-minded faith and come before the only God and say thank you for all you've done for us. We are owed nothing by you, yet you gave us everything, including your life, that we may live. And we thank you, precious Savior, for saving those who are here. And if there be one here who knows you not as Savior, may today be the day that they accept you for who you are and their heart is open to you and their mind finally gets lit up with the glory of God. Help us to do thy will. Thank you that the weather is cooperating a little bit this morning. It's not as hot as it was. We thank you for a place to meet, and we thank you for these wonderful people who come every Sunday and who keep us going, that we can spread the word of God and talk of his glory and his power. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So we have Johnny with cancer. You keep praying for him. And Mary Boyle, she's terminal according to the doctors. And keep them in your prayers, if you will. And we start with chapter 35 of Numbers. And he said, and the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also the Levites pasture lands for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the environs of them shall be for their cattle, and for their goods, and for all their beasts. And the pasture lands of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from outside the city on the east side 2,000, on the south side 2,000, on the west side 2,000, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the pasture lands of their cities. And among the cities which you shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities of refuge. Now the cities of refuge, we've been seeing that on television all week, you know. I'm sure you're tired of hearing sanctuary cities. And don't think that's something new. Numbers was written a couple of thousand years ago. And a city of refuge is a sanctuary city. What it was for, if someone committed a crime, killed somebody accidentally, they could leave their area and go to one of these cities of refuge, six of them along the river. They had easy access and they were easy to get to. And once he went in the city, those avengers who came after him, members of the family of the man that had been killed, they had a right to come and kill him. And once he got inside the city of refuge, they couldn't go in after him. And he was perfectly safe until he left that city. Or the priest died in the city. And it was a pretty good setup, especially if they had a young priest, because he was going to live 35, 40 years, and you were all right. But if he stood outside the gate 10 feet, the avenger, if he was out there, he could kill him. And that was the law. Doesn't sound too bad for our day, does it? Well, I don't know who appointed our cities of refuge who don't have to obey the law. But as I mentioned before, obeying the law is part of the gospel. You are to obey the Lord and obey his commandments, and it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. They're his commandments, and you are to follow him. I find it interesting, and y'all talking about Bruce Jenner and his daughters, who he's raised to be as ignorant as he is, said, well, we still love him, and that's fine. But if he wants to be a woman, that's fine. Whatever makes him happy, that's not the standard. Whatever makes you happy is not the standard. Whatever God is happy by is the standard. And you have to see what the standard is, and the standard's in this book. And like Jack said, he's asking questions on Genesis to people who don't know a thing about the Bible. And they'd get 4 out of 40 questions right. I mean, and these people look you in the face saying, yeah, I've been a member of whatever church for 42 years. And I want to show you my medals from the Sunday school there. And I mean, after all, of course, you used to go if you don't learn. And so we try to teach you here as we preach, and we, of course, emphasize accepting the Lord as Savior, because we get a lot of people through here who aren't saved. Ocean Drive is not a biblical destination. I'm sure you understand that. And we get a lot of people through here who come once, some get saved and come back, others continue along their way that we will never see again. Now, these cities of refuge, there were six of them, they were a hiding place, a place of safety. And you will notice as we explain the cities and tell you what their names mean and what they are for, that the names of the cities, all of them are an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our city of refuge, our place of refuge, is not a city. Our place of refuge is somebody. We flee to Jesus. I think there's a couple of old hymns that have that phrase in there, that we flee to Jesus, that you go to Jesus. And that is what you do with your troubles. I know there's some old Negro spirituals that have that in it. It's when you're in trouble, you go to Jesus and you tell him about it. You tell him all his troubles. I believe that's a line in one of the old songs. And you go and tell him, and he will solve it his way. And I was listening the other night to one of the channels, had the good singing on, is the Gaithers or somebody, and they were singing, "Take your troubles to the Lord and leave them there. Don't take them back home with you. Don't bring your troubles to the altar and present them to God and then say, okay, I hope you can help me with this, and pick your troubles back up and carry them back home with you." He said, "Leave them with me and I'll work on them." That's when you take your car to be fixed. You don't say, "Please check the generator and the whatever, and I'll be leaving now," and you get in your car and drive off. And the mechanic looks at you like you're some kind of nut. "How can I fix the car if you've driven off in it?" "Oh, I can't help you." And that's what God says. You have a problem. You have a problem. I can solve it. We just heard Lewis sing about that. And the power of the living God in the songs that we sang just a few minutes ago illustrates that God is all-powerful, did it not? Now, the name, the first city you could go to, they were right on the river. They had three on this side and three on that side, spaced out, of course. Easy access. God wanted it to be very easy for you to find a city of refuge, just like salvation. He made it, how easy could it be to get saved if all you have to do is want to? You know, there are no rituals. You don't have to wear a certain kind of clothes. You don't have to drink certain things, eat certain things, or fast on certain days. There is nothing you can add to the cross of Christ. Absolutely nothing. The work was done there by Him, not by you. You cannot earn your salvation. We have too many denominations today, bless their heart, sure they're good people, who just demand that you do certain things. Well, every third Tuesday we eat this, and man, I can't keep up with enough to join y'all. I have trouble enough. Remember what day of the week it is. I have to ask Ann, and she'll tell me, well, it's the 17th. I said, I don't want to get technical. I don't know if it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know how close we are to preaching again. That's all I need to know. It's these people you owe money to worry about the date. I don't worry about the date. Yeah, I don't have to worry about that. And so we find the first city that you can go to for the safety that the man could run to and hide in and be accepted in was called Bezer, B-E-Z-E-R. And Bezer means strong in the Hebrew. And this is an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is omnipotent, is He not? That means He has all power. There is no power you can name that is stronger than the Lord Jesus Christ. Not at all. I was watching a little TV last night, and then I had to study some, and I'm sitting there on the couch studying. Ann's gone to bed, and so it's quiet and nice, and all of a sudden a clap of thunder and lightning came outside my house. And boy, my goodness, the power of a lightning strike. Have you ever considered that? Just the power of one, and millions come and they can uproot trees and houses and knock buildings down. I mean, it is something. A lightning strike, that's power, isn't it? You can't capsule it, you can't put it in a bottle. You just have to hope it doesn't hit you. Now, I saw the unluckiest man in the world the other night. He'd been hit twice by lightning. Sure, and lived through it. Didn't like it, but he lived through it. So we find out that Bezer said, this is a strong place. If you hide yourself in the strong city, in the city of cities, and it is so powerful in there, and you're so well guarded in there, that nobody can touch you. That's a picture of your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most powerful beings ever created was Beelzebub, the devil. And he was an angel, and he was an archangel. This guy had a third of the heavenly hosts follow him. We're talking about somebody powerful here. And he can get things done. I'm telling you the truth. It's a war. And he starts a lot of them. And we find out that Bezer was stronger than any enemy or any pursuer who was coming after someone. They needn't try to come through Bezer. They were safe in Bezer, as you and I are in Christ. It doesn't matter who or what comes against us. If you are a child of God, if you are in Christ, then you are in safety, because you have the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one, the almighty one protecting you. That isn't bad, is it? I think that's a city where I would like to dwell, where I knew that the strongness of God protected me while I was there, and I didn't have to worry about a thing. You the same way. I was chuckled and enjoyed passing by talking to Johnny, and he said, yeah, I still have the cancer. It can go either way. I'm not worried about it. So what do you mean you're not worried about cancer? Well, we've beaten cancer. Well, what do you take that beats cancer? Take a good dose of salvation. Well, how does that beat cancer? If you happen to quit breathing, this book says absence from the body is present with the Lord immediately. What have I got to worry about? And Christians, I know some that worry if they don't have anything to worry about. I mean, that really bothers them. There's nothing to complain about. My God, you know some people like that. Some of you married one. I'm not going to say whether it was a woman or a man, but you know, you just can't make them happy, no matter what you do. So we go to strength for safety, do we not? Still, after a couple of thousand years, we want the biggest bombs. We want the most bombs. We want the fastest planes. We want the best CIA information, because we want to be what? The strongest. Because we know the strength wins. That wins the contest. We know if God is omnipotent and has all power, we have already won. And if Christians would just get that in their head, we're not. There's a good Negro spiritual. We sing it here from time to time just because it sounds good. But Lord, I'm trying to make it in. It's got nothing to do with you trying to make it in. Over the mountain. What's the name of that thing, Frexa? You know how. The rough side of the mountain. And it's all about trying to climb the mountain and getting in. And that, you don't have to do that. Somebody's already done that for you. Jesus did that. He bought your ticket. Why are you still at the ticket window trying to contribute to that? You can add nothing to what he's done. Who do you think you are? And yet we have denominations that, well, if you don't do this on third Tuesday after the fourth Wednesday of a full moon, get away from me. All I've got to do is put my faith in the omnipotent one, and I'm home free. I'm safe. I remember as a little bitty boy, and believe it or not, I was a little bitty boy at one time, and there I am, about 4 years old. My daddy had scheduled a revival in a town in Canada up above Toronto, and I was just a little fella, and he said, you want to go, buddy? And I said, yeah, I'd love to go. And, you know, I didn't know as long as I was with him. So we went, and he's holding a revival. He's rented a movie theater, and things are going well. But it is the time of the Second World War. And if any of you will admit to being that old, I know some of you won't, they used to have people come down the street, the wardens. What was the real name for them? Does anybody remember? Air raid wardens. Thank you, Lord. And they had an armband and a special hat, and they had the flashlight. And the air raid wardens would come and make sure all the lights were cut out. If they were suspecting planes to come or whatever, and they knew it would be seen from the air. And so they said, when he came, lights out, lights out. And there were no lights. If you were at home, you cut them out. The street lights were out. All the businesses' lights were out. And it was dark, boy. And when you're 4 years old and 1,200 miles from home, sitting in a movie theater and you don't know anybody in there, and then a guy comes and says, all lights out, it's not a birthday party. You get just a little nervous. How am I going to get back to Anderson, South Carolina? As a matter of fact, where is Anderson, South Carolina? And I'm sitting there, and my daddy's preaching, and he said, now, folks, the air raid warden has asked us to cut the lights out. That means we'll have to cut the pulpit light out. But you just sit where you are and listen. I know what I'm talking about. I don't need to read anything. So he went on preaching, that beautiful voice of his. And I thought to myself as a little fella, I said, you know, doesn't matter where I am, doesn't matter who surrounds me, doesn't matter what the condition is, as long as I can hear the voice of my Father, I am all right. And I never forgot that. So it carries over to when you're a Christian, does it not? You say, well, I'm so lonely. Why are you lonely? You're saved. God's always with you. He always covers you. He always surrounds you. He always cares for you. And he's always putting his strength on your side. There's no reason for you to be lonely. If all you got is a bunch of drunks for friends anyhow, be glad you're lonely. A bunch of dope heads, I laugh. I watch the same channel you do, and I see Brother Hannity, and he's talking about the drug situation, and he's walking through a big warehouse somewhere with blocks of cocaine, I mean stacked to the ceiling, and saying, look at this. This is what's coming across our border. And I said, Sean, I appreciate you showing us that, but may I ask you a question? Why wasn't that destroyed? Why is it still sitting there? I know why, don't you? Somebody's going to siphon it off and they're going to sell it. That's why. The drug problem is not the problem. The money you can make from the drugs is the problem.
Amen.
All right? It's a former cocaine addict yelling. Okay? And why isn't that warehouse on fire? Why isn't that stuff being burned and destroyed and taken out when no one can have it in their veins? That's a pretty sensible question, is it not? Can we not have some congressman or some senator ask that question? Of course it should be destroyed. I have a friend, he used to come to church here after he got saved. People would ask me, well, what does he do for a living? I said, he's an unregistered pharmacist. There's a lot of unregistered pharmacists. They're selling drugs. Too much money in it. You're not going to stop it till you stop the money. How sad. Our government can't figure that out. You know what's happening? The sheriff of Georgetown. I knew several years back. I think he keeps being the sheriff and a good fella. And he was talking to me one day and he said, Beaver, said we had a boat come by the other night. And we were out on the banks ready. We had had a warning they were coming. And it was loaded to the hilt, and we knew it. And we were going to make the biggest bust that's ever been made in South Carolina. And we knew when it left its port, we knew where it was every inch of the way, and we knew when it was going to pass by Georgetown. And I had people on the banks, people in boats, people in airplanes ready to come down on them. I mean, there was no way out for that boat. We had it until 5 minutes till it passed in front of me. And my phone rings. And it's a message from Washington. that says we'll cover that, just go ahead and let them through. Wonder why they didn't want to go ahead and arrest them when they had them. Because where they were going was going to sell it and make the money. That's why. You see what they do to you and do to us? Why? Because they left this book. My dad was a detective in Detroit before he became a preacher. And he said, you couldn't believe it. Back then, they had cocaine. Any of y'all old enough to remember window blinds? You pull the window down, keep the sun out of your house, and pull it, and it rolled back up. And the dope dealers would take a little pack of cocaine and a pen, and they'd pin them to the roller. And they'd just pull one down. If somebody needed two or three, let it go right back up. Said we knew where to go as soon as we went in the house. Just pull the windows down. And then we would take them and the owners of the house and put them in jail. Now they don't go there. Catching them, it is only a part of it. Trying to get them on to jail is the war. You watch what happens with this thing that happened in San Francisco. Somebody said, well, boy, that old boy is in trouble. They're going to put him away forever. I doubt that he'll serve a day. Some lawyer will get to the mental health people, and they'll decide he was crazy, and you can't put a crazy man in jail. We're going to deport him again. Well, it didn't help the first six times. I doubt if it'll help this time. But you see what happens to the law? Okay. Let me help you with that. Next time you catch one, whoever, black, white, yellow, Latino, combination, mixed, I don't care, coming across the border without papers, shoot him.
There you go.
You won't have to shoot many. The word will get out. If you go across there, they'll shoot you. See? Do you see anybody breaking into Russia? You don't see that, do you? Mm-hmm. Nobody gets in a raft and breaks into Cuba. Wonder why? They'll drown you. You're not supposed to be here. Get out of here. Well, all I've got's an inner tube. Well, you can borrow some air. Get out of here. Right? We go where the strength is. That's what Bezer was. Then you come to Ramoth. Ramoth was a high place. Any of you in the military, we have several of you here who have been in the military. You understand, since the book of Numbers, since the fighting started, the best ground to hold is the high ground. Because if you're on the hill, you can watch what's going on below and watch their movements, and nobody's still above on you. You took the high road. You're on the high ground. So they named that city Ramoth. Because if you're in a place where you can see those coming after you before they see you, you're in a place of safety. You're okay. You get first shot at them. Everybody knows that. That's been in any kind of military situation or knows about it at all. So you wanted to go a strong place. That was wonderful. That's Jesus. I wanted to go to a high place. You can't get higher than he. Isn't there a song about that we sing? You're all right, Larry? That there's nothing higher than he who lives in the highest is there. Yet what's higher than God? What a better place to be from than where he is. He sees all trouble before it gets to you, does he not? If you're with him, you see the trouble coming too. And it can't get you. You can get to it first. What a wonderful name. The high place. And the third city was named Golan. You know the Golan Heights over there that the Jews mistakenly gave back to the Palestinians. High ground. The Jews have worried about what they did since they gave it away. Because you can get on the Golan Heights right now and pretty well cut Israel in two. I mean, it's not many miles across there to the sea. And if you control the Golan Heights, you have split Israel. And they know it. Everybody knows it. And who gave it to them? Israel gave it to them. How dumb can you get? This is the enemy. Well, we're going to give them land for peace. They don't want peace. You read the paper wrong. They wanted a piece of your land. That's what they want. So now they control the heights. They control that mountain. If a ground war broke out over there, the Jews would be in trouble. Because they've lost the high ground. They've given it away. How sad. But Golan means a circle. And if you are in a city that's guarded all the way around, and a circle encompasses it, and the circle is well armed, nobody can slip up on you, can they? I mean, if you have a rectangle, they can come in the back door. But if you have a circle, you can't penetrate a circle, somebody gonna see you. And by the way, you can't corner anybody in a circle, can you? Impossible to do. So the love of God and the power of God and the strength of God encircles you if you're a Christian. Well, I know a lot of bad things that have happened to good people. I do too. We're human beings, and bad things are going to happen to us as long as we have to live among human beings. Well, when do we get out of that? When you go to heaven? You're with heavenly beings. Isn't that good? Already ensured there'll be no wars. There'll be no thieves breaking in. There'll be nobody slipping up on you and trying to kill you. There'll be no race wars. There'll be nothing bad. It'll all be good. That's a pretty nice place to live, isn't it? What a circle to live in. The peace and love and protection of the Lord God Almighty. You can't even imagine that, can you? Imagine being able to live like that with total no worry. And yet we have stress as one of the number one illnesses of our country. I'm all stressed out. About what? Well, Iran's got a nuclear bomb. Do you even know where Iran is? Well, not really. Well, why are you worried? Well, they have a nuclear bomb. So what? They may drop it on us. What are you going to do about that? Yeah, I loved old Lyndon Johnson. They got on Lyndon and the newspaper reporters, and there won't be these numbers, but it'll just illustrate what happened. One of them said, well, President Johnson, we understand that we only have 144,000 megaton power of nuclear power, and that Russia has 200 million. What do you think about that? He said, I think the average man on the street really doesn't know if he's been hit by 144 million or 200 tons of nuclear power. Why worry about something you could do nothing about? You turn it over to the Lord and you leave it with Him. Well, I just can't do that. Why? You don't trust Him? You trust yourself more than you trust Him? Well, I'll ask my mother-in-law. You have gone crazy. She doesn't know either. How sad. We take information. The horoscope. We won't ask for a show of hands. How many of you less than intelligent people read the horoscope every day? Right? They ought to spell it H-O-R-R-O-R. The horoscope. Now that's in every paper in the United States of America, the horoscope, every day. There are people with PhDs get up in the morning and won't take action in their business or life until they read the horoscope. How do you get so sick as that? Try getting them to print the gospel of Jesus Christ in every paper in the United States that people can read every morning and see how far you get. We want to move from the good to the bad and wonder why things don't work. How sad is that? Now, Kadesh, K-E-D-E-S-H, means sanctuary. That's what we've been hearing all week, right? Sanctuary cities. Sanctuary city is a place where they've decided they'll be the law. They won't abide by the federal law. They're going to make up their own law. That's why we're in the problems we're in with homosexuality and men marrying men and women marrying women. I love to aggravate people, as you know. And I said, well, you teach us that we are animals. That's what you teach the kids in school. You teach evolution. You teach them there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no justice, there is no sin. They're just there, and they are animals. They came from animals, and they're just a different type of animal. Now, do you really believe that? Yes, okay. My dog's an animal. Yes. Mm-hmm. Why can't I marry my dog? Is that not what you're teaching? That I'm an animal, he's an animal. If I love the animal, why can't we get married? Does that seem a little out of line to you? Now they want to marry each other in a church. And they will find some idiot preacher who will do it. We have gone to the edge of insanity. It used to be just a few crazy people. You remember when they had Bull Street in Columbia? That's where they had the nut house. And we just said, man, you need to be on Bull Street. And when we told people, we thought they were crazy. And it housed 1,000 people or so. They tore it down. There were more crazies outside and inside that they could put, so they just said, we'll just have to deal with it. And they let all the nuts loose. They put them on the street. I laugh, stories told of a preacher from down here. He had to go to Greenville, preacher sir at a church at a revival, and he got in his car and he took off and he got to Columbia and bow, had a blowout. So he pulled over, and lo and behold, he was right at Bull Street, right at the nut house. And he jumped out and got his lug wrench and a spare tire and took off the lugs, you know, the bolts there, and put them in the spare tire hub on the street where he wouldn't lose them. Then, of course, he stepped on it. And they went into the rain gutter. There he sat. Had a good tire. Couldn't keep it on the car. So he's trying to reach the lug nuts with a hand through the drain there. And you know you can't reach down in there. And he gets a stick and chewing gum and everything he can try, trying to get the lugs back. Time's passing, and one of the inmates sees what's going on and says, hey, buddy, what are you doing? He said, well, I've turned my lugs over here and there in the drain, and I can't reach them. I've got a tire, but I don't have any lugs to hold it on, and I've got to be in Greenville in a couple of hours to preach, and I just don't know what to do. He said, well, listen to me, and I'll tell you what to do. He said, what? He said, I'll tell you what to do. Take one lug off the other three tires, because three lugs will hold the tire long to get you to Greenville. Now you got three lugs, put your tire on that front one, and go on along your way. Get to Greenville, hold your service, and tomorrow morning you can buy you some new lugs. And he said, my goodness, how in the world did you think of that, you living in the nut house? He said, fella, I'm here because I'm crazy, Not because I'm stupid. And we have a lot of decisions made by bright people, but they make stupid decisions. We need to seal the border. I'll help you. Get about 500 crocodiles and put them in the Rio Grande. That'll help you. Mm-hmm. Oh. They'll drive you crazy, won't they? So sanctuary, the city Kadesh, the sanctuary, meaning safety, a place of safety. I want to flee to a place of safety. I can't think of a better place of safety than being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you? That's an attribute of Jesus, is it not? He will keep you safe. He'll look out for you. No harm can come to you. Well, I know a preacher who got hit by a car. Honey, we're not talking about this ragtag earth. This has been over for a long time. We're talking about in the new heavens and the new earth, where they finally get around to doing it God's way. Wouldn't that be different? And I'm not mad at anybody, Mexican people or whatever, and all that. But for heaven's sake, I see them arguing on television, Bill O'Reilly and Hannity, and people with the other point of view come up and they have a big debate, and both of them are wrong. You say, well, an illegal alien and all, and he needs to, and what we need to do for him. Back up a minute. What kind of alien? Illegal? He's already a criminal. Don't worry about him becoming one. He broke the law when he got here. Oh, well, I didn't think of that. No, I know you didn't. It's very simple. If you have a ticket, you get in the ball game. If you do not have a ticket, you can't come to the ball game. Do you understand that? Get a long line, fill out your papers. If it's right, we'll let you in. If it isn't, you're not coming in. How hard is that to figure out? We're being led by fools and following as quick as we can. How sad. How sad. And it's going to get worse. Now the next city is named Shechem. S-H-E-C-H-E-M. Shechem means shoulder in the Hebrew. And if you're going to go to that city, that means you're looking for strong shoulders to stand on. You want to get with somebody. If you're going to get in a fist fight down here, as we used to do just for fun, you always wanted to make sure you were somebody that could really punch them, boy. And you always made friends with big-shouldered people, David Michaels and Lawton Drew. Lawton here this morning, he could knock you out from his house. I mean, you wanted to get with the people you knew on your side that could really go. That made sense. You wanted tall shoulders to stand on, in other words. And this is what this city was. That is an attribute of Christ. If I'm standing on his shoulders, I'm all right. We don't care who approaches. We don't care how well they can fight. We don't care who they are or how mad they are. I'm standing on the shoulders of Jesus. He can take care of all of them. Individually or as a group. Doesn't matter. All he has to do is speak. As a matter of fact, 600 came to arrest him one night, and he just looked at them, and all of them fell down. The Bible says, as if they were dead. That's the kind of shoulders I want to stand on, don't you? I want that kind of record behind me. I want that guy. Well, I love when people used to bet. I didn't appreciate his attitude or his religion, but don't bet against Ali. He's going to hurt you. He has beaten up everybody don't bet on somebody gonna fight him. He's gonna kill them. Why? He's proven to be the best. So bet on the best. Get with the best. So I'm gonna go to Shechem, and I'm gonna stand on the shoulders of Jesus, and we gonna yell at people like Goliath. Well, you can't whip Goliath. I don't have to. Jesus can. We laughed with our buddy Huda mentioned a while ago that's out west, heard us on the, who missed us? Who? Eddie. Yeah, Eddie. Eddie walked the Appalachian Trail. That's 4,200 miles. And I said, Eddie, I'm not a hiker, and I'm not a mountain ranger, and I don't know a whole lot about that, but I'm going to give you a piece of information that can be most valuable to you when you hike the Appalachian Trail. He said, well, what is it? I said, well, there's a lot of grizzly bears up there. And you can't run. He's 35 miles an hour. He can run 35 miles an hour. Don't climb a tree. He can climb it faster than you, or he can tear it down with you in it. If a grizzly bear gets after you, it's over. Just forget it. So that I want to give you the hint and the tip of always go hiking with somebody slower than you. Yeah. What good does that do? I said, that lets the grizzly bear eat him while you're still jogging down the road. Not too bad. So then we get in a sixth city called Kiriath Arba. That is a brick fortress. Now we're talking about cities out in the desert. We're talking about not the construction materials we have today, but the city was a brick fortress. Thank you, Donnie. And you're not going to attack anybody who's dwelling in a brick fortress. You can't get to him. His guards and people who fight for him will be on the portals, and they'll be looking out the windows, and they will be ready for whatever comes and whoever comes. And if you get there, you can't get in. He's a brick fortress. You can't get past him. The devil is very powerful, but he cannot get past the Lord Jesus Christ. Demons are very powerful, but they can't get past the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a brick fortress. You can't do it. And if you want to escape and hide for a few years, go to a brick fortress. That ain't bad. They might find out where you are, but they can't do anything about it. You can't get past a fortress. They didn't have guns like we do today, or airplanes to attack. He said, well, come on, we got a brick fortress. Oh, yeah, the water, that's called a moat. You got to get across the moat, then you got to get through the brick fortress, then you might can get to me. That's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all of you heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Well, they're after me, Lord. Are you deaf? Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll take care of the trouble. I'll take care of those trying to kill you. I will guide the wars. I will decide who attacks who, where, when, and how, and who the winner is. As a matter of fact, I am omniscient, and I already know who's going to fight and who's going to win. Come unto me. Get in me. That's why as preachers, when we say, are you in Christ? That's what we mean. Are you in the fortress? Are you in his circle of safety? Are you riding on his shoulders? Are you where the strongest of the strong dwells? Then you are in a city of refuge. Nobody gets to vote what goes on there. The law's already been laid down. Everyone will be obedient unto the King, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And if you don't have sense enough to go to Him when you have troubles, you better get out your Bible and start reading. I read the Psalms. I read two or three of the Psalms every night. And it's amazing how many times they say, praise the Lord. Give praise unto the Lord. Thank the Lord. Steady praising the Lord, calling on Him. Be good to us. Be merciful to us. All the things that Jesus is, that's what they're asking for. And the Jews left Him. They stumbled over their own Messiah. How sad. How sad. That means all Jews going to hell? No. He's going to protect the Jews when Iran and Iraq and all of them decide to attack. He's going to wipe all of them out. Don't worry about that coming war. He's coming first. And He will deliver His own to His city of refuge while He takes care of it. And yes, Jerusalem's going to be attacked again. You mean they're going to get wiped out and get killed? No. No. He's already promised, you'll not wipe my people out. Because when you start upon them, I'm going down there and fight for them. I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to have y'all fighting each other. Read Ezekiel 38, 39 when you get home. And then watch TV. Same story. Same story. Isn't it sad? We know what's going to happen. The news is guessing what's going to happen. The philosophers and religionists are wondering what will happen. You don't have to wonder. It's all written down. The names of the countries, the names of the cities, the names of the people who are going to be in that war are in that book. Won't you read it? And heed it. And believe it. And rejoice in it. For the Savior's coming soon. And when we are taken up to be with Him, we're in safe haven forever. Amen. Nobody can ever touch us again. Isn't that wonderful? No. So we thank you for coming this morning, and I hope you learned something, and I hope you learned the cities of refuge had meaning. But they didn't stop with the Old Testament. Jesus is our refuge. And when we go to Him, we're in total safety. We have absolutely nothing to worry about. For we are in Him, and He is in us, and we are one. Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are our refuge. You're our place of hiding. You're our place of safety. You're our place of strength. You're a place where no one can reach us, whoever they are, whatever power they have. It's no good. For we have escaped to You. And we find ourselves safe in You. And if there be one here this morning or watching by the webcam who doesn't know You on a personal level, who has never repented of their sins and said, Lord, I'm sorry for every sin I ever committed. I ask forgiveness. And I desire to be born again. I desire to be a child of God. I just desire to be covered by the grace of God, without which nobody's saved. And by grace and through faith, anybody can be saved. Anybody can be redeemed. Anybody can have their ticket to be in the place of refuge, to be in You. So touch the hearts of anyone who hasn't done that this morning. Whether they be here or watching by webcam or wherever they may be, Lord, let them come to Thee. For we feel that time is short. And it won't be long before we see you face to face. And all these wearisome troubles will be gone. And we will dwell with you forever. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake and his sake alone. Amen.
Started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am. Saved by grace. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Victories, God.